Welcome to the Browns Huddle Podcast, Episode 2. With me tonight, I have a very special guest, Jarvis Tank Courtney. You can also find him on Twitter, @Frank_Tank_52. How you doing, Jarvis?
I'm doing good, sir. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How was your day today?
It was good. It was good. Just got done training, you know, put in some work again. Just getting better by the day.
Yeah, it seems like you train a lot nowadays.
Yes, sir. I train twice a day for at least 3 hours each session. That's every day nonstop. So you know what I'm saying? I'm just getting better each day.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you on. I was really excited about tonight. So let's go ahead and get into it. First of all, you know, your name is Jarvis Courtney, but there's a Tank in the middle of that. So you have a nickname, right? Tank?
Yes, sir.
I think nicknames are so cool, man. I've always wanted a nickname. I've had a few in my past, but they never stuck. So tell me about your nickname. How did that come about?
When I was younger, at the family cookouts, I used to, like, I didn't want to eat around like everybody else. And at my grandmother's house, they had, like, I don't know if it was like a propane tank or something like that. I used to always sit between them and put my little, like, table there, and I used to eat between the propane tank, and my grandfather gave me that nickname.
Your grandfather gave you the nickname Tank?
Yes, sir. He said,
and it just stuck, huh?
To be a propane tank.
Yes, propane tank, okay. You know, I'm a 44-year-old guy, but if I was a quarterback, you know, I would have zero problem with you protecting my blind side.
No, sir. You would have no problem.
Absolutely. So, I thought you had the nickname Tank because of your measurements. Let me just make sure I get this right. So you are 6'5". Is that right?
6'6".
6'6". Okay, let me update my notes here. That inch is very important. So you're 6'6", and what's your current weight right now?
300.
Man, mm-hmm. I'm 6'4", and you know, typically when I walk into a crowded room, nobody makes me look small. But man, I think you would probably make me feel pretty small next. I mean, 6'6" is tall, man.
Yeah, it is.
I did a little research, Jarvis, and the average offensive lineman in the league is about 6'5". Yeah, so you're right there, and the average weight is 312. You know, so just to give you an idea, our great left tackle, Joe Thomas, you've heard of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's 6'6", 312. The guy we just drafted, Jedrick Wills, he's 6'4", 320. So, man, your measurements are right in there. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Have you been tall your whole life, or when did you start growing?
I started growing my freshman year in high school is when I started really growing. My dad, I actually get all my height from my dad. So my dad is 6'9". My older brother, he's 6'8". I got a little brother that's 6'4", and I'm 6'6". So we all tall.
So your dad is 6'9"?
Yeah.
Wow. Did he play sports as well?
He played basketball.
Basketball. Mm-hmm. I bet he was good at basketball. Yeah,
yeah, he was.
So when you were in high school, how tall were you your freshman year of high school?
High school, I probably was like 6'2", probably 6'2".
Okay, and then you did your growing through high school, and that brings us to today. You're 6'6", man. That's very tall. Who in the NFL, you know, at your position, who, you know, we all like to compare ourselves to people, but who would you say you compare yourself to, you know, of the current NFL players at your position?
Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys, their left tackle, Tyron Smith.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
But how tall is he?
Tyron Smith, he's probably about, what, 6'7"? Something like that, 6'7", 6'8".
Mm-hmm. What What attributes would you say compared to him?
Technique, his hands. My footwork is better though.
I just Your footwork's better? There.
My footwork. Yeah, my footwork is way better, and I'm way faster.
Way faster. Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, let's go back to the beginning of your football journey. And I'm guessing that was at high school or before high school. When did you start playing football?
I started playing football when I was like six. I played Pop Warner football. Took like a year off. And I started playing basketball again. I just really didn't know what I wanted to do at the time. And then, you know, when I was in eighth grade in middle school, a football coach from the high school that I went to, they see me, and, you know, they recruited me and stuff like that. They said I got the size and everything like that. They'd like to have me, so they recruited me. And I went in the high school, you know what I'm saying? I seen, you know, everybody out there. I was like, okay, I want to do this. Like, I see everybody out here hitting again. And this boy's bigger than me. I like hitting people way bigger than me.
Uh-huh. What position did you play in high school?
I play left tackle, nose guard, defensive end, and linebacker.
Okay, so you played both sides of the ball.
Yes, sir. I can play both sides, yes.
Wow, okay. Where did you go to college after high school?
I went to Lewisburg College. It's a junior college. Okay. The coach was supposed to recruit me once I got there or whatever. And when I went there, he asked me how old was I and everything like that. And at the time when I went there, I was 23. And he was like, nah, you were too old or whatever. You can't play for us or whatever. And then he was telling me how I wasn't going to get get any scholarships to go to college or whatever. So I wanted to just stick to the books and stuff like that. And I was like, damn, like, that guy really can shoot my dreams down like that, like that fast. Like, who is he to tell me that I can't do something because I'm too old or something like that? I was like, okay, so. That's when I started making, like, my workout videos and stuff like that at their gym. And then I came back home or whatever, and I started working out here with my trainer. And then I had seen that the West Virginia Rough Riders, they had a trial. And I went there, and I tried out, made the team. I played at least, like, eight games. And then I had left and then went to another team, the Skyhawks, out in Wenatchee, Washington. And I played out there, and I won. I had got all second-team offensive linemen, and then – I had went up a lead to CIF with Salina and Liberty out in Kansas. And then that's when where I went to camp or whatever. I dominated camp. And then that's when, like, all the virus and stuff started happening. And they just suspended the lead, and they just sent us back home. So now I'm back here just training. Just I'm ready for the NFL. Like, I'm ready. I just need an opportunity. That's it.
You know, your story about your coach, and that was at your JUCO college, right? That told you you're too old?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, your story is that's kind of where, you know, to me, your story begins. You know, some people can take a criticism like that and say, you know, he's right. Maybe I am too old, but you didn't do that, did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't, because when I lost my grandmother back in 2016 to cancer, and I'll never forget, you know what I'm saying? I was telling her that I was going to make it into the NFL. And, like, the last thing I just remember, like, she squeezed my hand, so I knew that she was listening. So by him telling me that, you know what I'm saying, it was kind of messed up in a way, but I didn't let that bring me down. It just, you know, added more fuel to the fire and just made me push, like, 1,000 times harder.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You know, that just shows that the words that we say can be dream killers, you know? We really got to watch what we tell people, and we got to be careful, because you kind of accepted that as a challenge, didn't you?
Yeah, I really do. I like challenges.
Absolutely. Well, man, you're an inspiration for so much, so many people. And I know that I only see a little bit, because I'm my Twitter handle is Browns Huddle, so most people know that I'm a Browns fan, and a lot of times fans of other teams, they don't follow me, but I know they follow you because you're just trying to get into any team, right? So I know there's a lot of conversations on Twitter that I don't even see, but from what I saw tonight, just promoting this podcast, you have fans from a lot of different clubs, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. I appreciate, like, everything that, like, the people do for me. Like, people from different places just, you know what I'm saying, supporting me and my dream. It's just, it's truly a blessing. I just want to thank, like, all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get into the training. You know, what does a typical training day look like for you, Jarvis?
In the morning, I got strength and conditioning. I mean, in the morning, I lift. And in the afternoon, speed and agility. So I got that every day, twice a day, at least like 3 hours every session.
So in the morning, what time does your morning usually start?
Probably around like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Seven in the morning, and you go to lift weights?
Yes, sir. But I probably get up around like 6 o'clock just to get my body going and everything like that.
Man, that's awesome. And so, all right, so you have your morning training, weight training, and then what's after that?
I got strength, speed and agility. It's like footwork.
Speed and agility.
Working on technique. Yep, working on technique, stuff like that, just stand, shake.
What does that consist of when you say speed and agility? Are you literally on a football field doing cone drills? And?
Yes, sir. Cone drills, L drills, offensive lineman drills, the 5-10-5 drill. I got my 40-yard dash, all that stuff. It's one called the box drill. I got a lot of cone drills I got to do, and it got to be fast, because if it's not fast, I got to start over.
Yeah. Do you have a trainer?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So he's with you every day, every step of the way?
Yes, sir, he is. Yes, sir.
That's awesome. What about diet? Is that something that you pay attention to a lot? So you're 300 pounds now, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
What's the ideal weight you want to be at, or is that where you want to be at, 300 pounds?
300, I'm okay with 300, because I don't even – it's crazy because I don't feel 300, but I'm 300 and I'm fast. Like my diet, in the morning, eggs, toast, smoothie. That's before training. After training, I come home, eat like baked chicken, baked potatoes, salad.
Wow.
Down in the water. That's how I do it.
Bunch of water.
Yes, sir.
About how many calories do you think you eat a day? And I know it's probably a lot because you're training. You're burning them off, right?
Yeah. That's the thing. I really don't pay attention to it, but I know I bring in a lot, though.
Yeah. It probably is a balancing act because you're right. I mean, you want to stay fast, right? Especially at the left. Is that the position that you see yourself being in the NFL as left tackle?
Any position on the offensive line is – I can – play any position on the offensive line. I really think I can play any position on the defensive line too. It's just anything on the line I can get right.
Awesome. So, okay. Well, man, you know, training, let's kind of finish up that thought. During this COVID, you know, crisis that we've faced over the last 3 months, you've trained, I don't even know how many seasons you've trained for in your football career. It's probably a lot. Would you say that this is the weirdest season to train for the upcoming football year?
Yeah, because like a lot of gyms are closed and we really can't be inside the gym. So we had to bring the weights outside to train.
Yeah.
And I've never done that. So you're lifting weights in the heat. It's like 100 degrees down this way. So basically you're staying in shape by lifting weights, and plus you got to run outside at the same time. So it's been different, but I actually like it because I'm in the best shape of my life right now.
Man, you know, I've seen different NFL athletes working out at their home gyms, you know, maybe in their garage or in their backyard. And it's a reminder that, you know, if you have a love for the game, which clearly you do,
yes, sir.
It doesn't matter if the gyms are closed. I mean, you can think of 1,000 excuses why not to work out, but you choose to work out. And that's a credit to you, my friend. I mean, you love this game, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Well, I have some offensive line questions, and I gotta say, this is the first time I've ever talked to an offensive lineman, so I'm actually excited about this. So, if you could just entertain me for maybe just a couple minutes, and I'm talking from a fan's perspective, okay?
Okay.
What's the difference of pass blocking and run blocking?
Pass blocking is you basically, like, you got to kick step backwards and, you know, stand your ground, your ground, and, you know, don't let your man get by you. That's all you got to do to protect the quarterback. Run blocking, you're going forward. You're running through the man's face every time. You're not getting pushed back. You're going forward. You're going the first level, second level, and up to the safety. That's how I see it. I got to get him out of there for my running back.
Wow. So it's totally different mentality. When the coach calls in a pass play, you're basically staying in between your guy and the quarterback. Whereas a run play, you're tanking forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you ever have to switch? Okay, let's say it's a run play. Do you ever have to switch from your man to another man and maybe a tight end come up and get your guy? Like, if you have to clear out the middle or something like that?
Yes. Probably for, like, a blitz. You want to wash your man down and pick up the blitz. Or, you know, if the tight end is going out, you maybe wash the guy down and pick up his guy so he can go off on his route.
That's interesting. This is another question I have. What is it like in a huddle? What's it like in there? What's the energy like?
It's exciting to me. I don't know why. It's always been exciting to me. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just, I don't know, just looking at everybody, just making sure everybody ready, just, you know, give the fans what they want. We don't never strap our helmet up to take an L. Not me anyway. I'm always strapping my helmet up to win. So every time I'm going through the huddle, I'm self-motivated. And, you know, I want to motivate my teammates too. So I get in the huddle, man. I really always think I'm the hype man all the time. Every team I play for, I'm the hype man because I'm ready to go.
You seem like you're the perfect fit for a fast-paced offense.
Yes, sir.
Which is the direction the NFL is going.
Yes, sir. I'm ready to go. Because arena football is fast-paced. We really don't get too many huddles. Arena football is fast-paced. It's almost like basketball. Arena football, you only got, like, I think it's 40 or 50 yards. That's it. So it's going nonstop. You really got to be in top shape to play arena football because you don't get that much, you know, you don't get that many breaks like you do in an NFL football. You know what I'm saying? You got a decent amount of time to be in that huddle. But arena football,
how do you know what the play is if there's no huddle?
They either call out a color. They're going to have to call out something, a number or something.
I've watched a couple of arena football games. It is – they're pretty exciting. They are fast-paced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is it easier to block for a running quarterback, you know, maybe like a Kyler Murray or a pocket passer like a Tom Brady? Who's easier to block for?
For me, both, honestly.
So either I was just always wondering that, you know, with a running quarterback, it seems like it'd be harder, right? Because you don't know if he's scrambling left or right, you know, and I guess it's probably easier to, you know, get a holding call or something like that, right?
Yeah.
All right, I just have a couple more fan questions. Who are you closest to? Your lineman, you know, your buddies on the line, the running back or the quarterback, relationship wise?
The quarterback. Me and the quarterback gotta be on the same page.
You gotta be.
Don't get me wrong. I love my big dogs, but me and my quarterback, we gotta have that connection because, like, I feel like the game, it'll go a lot easier if you and your quarterback is on the same page.
Yeah, I've just, you know, you hear of running backs, if they get a rushing title, they'll buy all the linemen a Rolex watch or something like that. And I was just wondering, I know that you definitely have a brotherhood with, you know, with your other linemen, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. And this is, you know, from a fan that's just frustrated, you know, what is it with the snap count? So, all right, you come out of the huddle and you know the snap count. Why does some linemen have a problem with false starts and other linemen seem to not have a problem?
I think it's just, you know, could be the lack of discipline on their behalf, or they're not focused. Like, they're really not focused enough. I feel like, for me, once I hear the snap count, you know what I'm saying, there's no need for you to, you know, jump off the line or anything like that. Or another reason could be, you know, they feel like the guy in front of them is faster and they want to get a head start on him. So that could be another reason why they jump. But you just, you got to be locked in. You got to be locked in at all times. And for me, they ain't getting no false start out of me. I'm locked in at all times.
Yeah, that's always one of the frustrating things from a fan's perspective is when your offensive lineman continuously, you know, here and there that happens. But, you know, sometimes you get a guy that just continuously false start, you know, and in your mind as a fan, you're like, you know what the snap count is. There's no reason you should false start, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably a little more difficult if you're in a loud stadium like Seattle, right? That's the one that I think off the top of my head. Is it harder to get the snap count right when you're playing in a loud stadium like that because you can't hear anything?
Yeah. I see sometimes where the guys may tap their leg or something like that when they already snap the ball. So that could be, you know, a way of knowing the snap count, or, you know what I'm saying, hearing the quarterback. Because, like in Seattle, if it's loud and near, you ain't going to be able to hear the quarterback. You're going to have to have some type of body just to move that something in order for you to know that ball is going to be hyped because it's too loud in Seattle. It's too loud there.
No doubt. Well, yeah, that's all I had from a fan's perspective, you know, because I don't know about you, but my eyes go – when I'm watching a football game, my eyes always go to where the ball is or where I think it's going to go, you know. So when a lineman is holding or a lot of times I'll catch a false start, but a holding, I have to go back and watch the replay because my eyes didn't go there. So, you know, that's another thing too. Some linemen will get called on holding a lot, you know, and that's frustrating, but – let's get into
it really is. I can't stand that.
Yeah, it's frustrating as a fan, but I wanted to ask you about marketing. You know, the typical way that somebody would get into the NFL would be through the NFL draft, or if they don't get drafted, they'll become an undrafted free agent, and that's how they get in the NFL. Obviously your path is much different than that. What are some of the ways that you're marketing yourself? So that way, you know, there's 32 GMs out there and there's only 32 of them. What are some of the ways that you're getting your name out there to get recognized by one of the 32 GMs?
My work ethic that I put on my page, my videos, just showing them that, you know, I'm working, not taking no days off. Football, I take the game a lot. It's like serious. I take the game serious. It's kind of deeper than football because, like I said, I promised my grandmother that I was going to make it before she had passed away. So that's one promise that I can't break. It's just like I'm determined. I want to be the best. And my work ethic is just, I don't know, my work ethic, it says it all on my Twitter.
Absolutely. No, there's no question about that. That's one of the reasons why this story and you, Jarvis, are just so magnetic because, you know, I can get behind a guy like that that's out, you know, just trying to get that one chance. We'll talk about that in a minute with your hashtag one chance. I love that, man. That's just fantastic. Sure. But how are you getting your name out there? I mean, I know you have Twitter, right? And you're getting your name out there that way. And I get, and you have a YouTube channel that you're getting yourself out that way. Do you have a sports agent that's also on your, talking on your behalf?
Yes, sir, I do. I do, but at the, like, I haven't heard from him. So, like, I don't know what's going on at the time, but I do have a sports agent, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be your Jerry Maguire. I'll show you the Quan, baby. You know, that's important because, you know, sometimes somebody that's out there working hard and has extremely high goals, if the people that you're trying to reach aren't seeing it, then that's a problem that, that has to be fixed, right? So,
yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. Do you follow any – have you ever looked at search like Twitter bios, like NFL pro scouts? Have you ever done that and tried to follow them?
Yes, I have, but I haven't had any follow me back, though. I follow, like, quite a few.
Yeah, maybe I can help you work on that. Because that would be an angle, right? Getting the NFL scouts' attention. And you never know who's listening. I mean, I think I have – 5 followers on my podcast so far. Hopefully tonight there'll be more than that. But, you know, it just takes one. It just takes one person to to hear your story and hear your message and see what kind of guy you are, that all of a sudden you get a chance in the NFL. So I was just wondering about that, about your marketing strategy. Do you, as far as YouTube, do you post a lot of your workouts on there?
On YouTube? No, not really. I just have my from last year, my arena football highlights, and I have one workout that I got on my YouTube page. But I'm big on Twitter, so I just go ahead and post everything on Twitter because all my fans are on Twitter.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You got a ton of fans and a ton of followers on Twitter. I haven't done it yet, but Twitter has a live cast. Have you seen that? Where if you're about to, if you click to post a tweet, there's a, you could do a live cast where, you know, point the phone at what you're doing and it's live on Twitter. I think it'd be awesome if you could get your trainer to, you know, hold your phone and do a live Twitter feed of, you know, you doing some cone drills or lifting some weights. I think that'd be cool. A couple people have asked me, you know, to see some of your training videos. So I just wanted to put that in your ear. I do have a couple of Twitter questions that were given to me today, so I wanted to ask you. One coming from Slim Dog. Do you know Slim Dog?
Yeah. That's my guy. Yeah,
absolutely. We actually watched a football game together last year and got to know him a lot, and such a fantastic guy, and he's pulling for you for sure.
I know.
Yeah, but he's asking, have you ever had any responses from any teams, players, or former players? Have you had anybody reach out to you?
No, sir. Not at all.
Well, we know of one, which is the great
Cleveland. Eric Metcalf.
Yes, sir.
Eric Metcalf. Yes, you're absolutely right. Eric Metcalf.
That he gave you a shout-out last week.
Crazy. That was crazy. I was looking at that almost for like an hour. I was looking at that for almost like an hour. It's just like that right there is so, it's like, it's a huge blessing for someone like that, you know what I'm saying, do what he did. It's just, you know, I thank him for that.
Oh man, he's such a great guy, and he's very active on Twitter. I grew up watching him. My dad just spoke of it on Father's Day. We were talking Brown stuff, and my dad was at the game in Los Angeles for the Raiders game when he scored 4 touchdowns for the Browns to help us win that game. 4 touchdowns in one game.
I know. I've seen that. It's on YouTube. I was watching it. I'm like, man, that man is fast. And, like, he's real shifty. Like, he can get through people. I'm like, that is crazy. Like, how do we do it?
A guy like that makes everybody's job easier, right?
Exactly.
Another question I have is from Dwayne at DB Excellence on Twitter. He asked, and I think you've already answered this, can you play some defense?
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Any position on the offensive line or defensive line, I will get this job done.
That's awesome.
And I'm fast coming off that end.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We might be able. We might be looking for somebody opposite Myles Garrett.
Most definitely.
We'll fit you on that line. Last Twitter question is from Rob at Zeus 0315. He asks, what are your times? What are your times in the combine drills for offensive linemen? Have you ever done, you know, they have all those drills in the combine. Have you ever actually done those drills on your own?
I have, but I never timed myself. Probably like last week, my trainer, he had timed me for my 40-yard dash, and I ran a 5-flat. And then for my 5-10-5, I ran a 4-9. But he got some more drills for me coming up tomorrow. He's going to time me for that too, so I'm just getting ready for that.
Man, I haven't researched times for offensive linemen on the 40-yard dash, but it seems like that's up there.
Oh, yeah. I'm working.
That's awesome, man. That's fast. Well, let me ask you this, Jarvis. And you've kind of talked about this a little bit, but what keeps you going? You know, what gets you out of the bed each morning? What keeps you going?
My son. I got a 1-year-old son. When I look at him, I see myself. And the one thing I refuse to let happen to him is, like, you know what I'm saying, the stuff that happened to me growing up and stuff like that. He motivates me a lot because, you know, I want to give him a better life than I did growing up. That's one. And then my grandmother, from her passing away, just promising her that I'll make it to the NFL. That's another reason. And then my family, you know, I told my family that I want to just give everybody a better life and just myself. You know, I owe it to myself too because I'm putting in the work. So, you know, that's the reason. That's what makes me get out of bed every day.
That's awesome, man. You know, when you bring kids in the world and, you know, you become a parent, it truly is all about them, you know. And I would do anything for my kids, and I know you'll do anything for your son. And life just becomes more important because – you know, I know when I was younger, I'm talking about in my college days and before I had kids, if I didn't have enough money for a meal, no big deal. You know, I can, you know, tough it out and wait for the next meal. But when you have kids, they got to eat, you know. So something about being a parent, you'll just do whatever it takes to make sure that your son, and you're right, you want him to have a better life than you did. And I want to have my kids have a better life than I did, you know, so.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any favorite quotes, any favorite motivational quotes?
The Bible scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I read that Bible scripture before I go to bed. And every time I wake up, or, you know what I'm saying, if I feel like somebody is being, well, how would I say this, like doubting me in a way, to where, you know what I'm saying, they try to tell me that I'm not going to make it or whatever, or I just should go a different way about it. I just, you know, I go somewhere by myself, and I just read the Bible scripture every time. That Bible scripture right there keeps me going.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. My dad used to say, I have a couple of things here. You know, my dad used to always tell me, remember the journey. You know, sometimes we just focus on the end result, and that's important, but the reward is in the journey, and you're doing your journey right now, you know, so always remember the journey. So that way, when you do get to where you want to go, you're going to remember these times. You're going to remember all those weights you lifted and all the cone drills you did and, you know, the steady diet that you were on. You know, you're going to remember all those times, and it's going to make you sit back and just really appreciate where you're at even more because of what it took to get there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I've been seeing on Twitter a lot, hashtag one chance. Tell me about that. What's the backstory on that?
Oh, man. It's just, I feel like everybody deserves an opportunity in life. You live once, I just feel like everybody deserves a chance in life. I don't feel like just because you didn't go to a D1 school or a D2 school or, you know what I'm saying, just college, period, because you never know their story. You know, I just feel like no one should be overlooked. If you understand what I'm saying, I don't feel like people should be overlooked just because they didn't go to an Alabama or a Clemson or anything like that. That doesn't define the type of person that they is, or that doesn't define the type of player they is. And that's me, because I didn't get the opportunity, or, you know what I'm saying, I had to help out my family back at home. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to play football. I wanted to do all that stuff like everybody else. My path was just different. And arena football gave me the opportunity, so I took it and I ran with it, and I balled out and I did what I did. And I get into the league just like I took over the arena football. I'm gonna take over the NFL the same way.
Man, we're all pulling for you, man. Let's have a little fun. Let's fast forward. You know, I talked about it a minute ago. Talked about the end result. Let's fast forward to the day that you finally get the call that you've been waiting for.
Man.
What would that mean to you, Jarvis?
Man, it's just that'd be the best feeling of my life. Other than having my son, which was the biggest thing that ever happened to me, but getting that call is just, it'll fix everything for real. You know what I'm saying? Just knowing that I made my grandmother proud, myself, my family, my son, my fans, everybody that believed in me, everybody that stood in my corner. You know, it'll mean everything. The phone call is just it's a blessing. It's something that I've been fighting for my whole life. It's just, I know it'd be a lot of tears because I didn't put in the work, but it's just thinking about everything that I've been through. And my darkest days and stuff like that, and just, you know, coming to the light and just getting that call is just, I don't know, it's just a healing.
And you thought about that, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Every day I wake up, I just hope that I even got an email, a text message, a phone call. Every day I wake up, I look at my emails. I check my text messages, all of that missed calls, I check all that stuff just to see, like, it's like, if somebody just called me, just like, we'll bring you in. It just, that'll be a blessing.
I mean, you make yourself available. You have your telephone number right on the your Twitter bio.
Everything is up there. Everything is up there. My cell phone number, my emails, both of my emails. When y'all ready, call me. The number is right there. I'm ready to go right now. I can play in the game right now. All four quarters and overtimes. I'm ready to go.
That's awesome, man. let's do a little role playing. All right. I'm Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, and I'm gonna give you a phone call right now. You up for a little role play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, Jarvis. This is Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns. How are you?
I'm doing good, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, man. How soon can you get here? I've heard your story, and I've seen you on Twitter, the Browns Huddle podcast. You are just the guy that we're looking for. How soon can you get here, man?
Right now. I'll book my flight right now.
All right, man. Well, listen, I sent your agent your plane ticket, and I look forward to seeing you first thing tomorrow. You ready to be a Brown?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, man. You know, the listeners can't see the joy in your eyes, but I can see it because we're on Zoom. But, man, I can tell that this is a deep passion of yours, and I'm right behind you, man.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Well, Jarvis, this was fun, you know. Anything else you'd like to share? I mean, I know I was kind of – all over the place, but is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that maybe we didn't go over tonight?
No, I just want to thank all my supporters all over the world. Literally, my fans all across the world. I just want to thank everybody for standing in my corner. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just helping me get out there and just helping me just get attention from one organization. Because that's all it's going to take. It's going to take one person to see me. And, you know, I just need that one opportunity. This is just only going to take one opportunity. I get on that field, I'm going to show them something they never seen before. Or nerds, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to work. Oh,
I believe you, man. I believe you. Well, listen, your Twitter family is behind you. Every time you lift those weights, you know, and run those cone drills, I just want to let you know, man, we're there cheering you on. Like, you can't see us, but we're there. So, man, I just want to thank you for coming on the show, and I wish the best of luck to you. And promise me this, when you do make it, you'll come back on the show, and we'll just celebrate together. How about that?
Yes, sir. We're going out to eat, and I got to give you a signed jersey. It's on me.
Oh, man. Well, you don't have to give me. I mean, I'll take a signed jersey. I mean, when you make it, I'm buying a jersey. That's like the first thing I'm going to do. As soon as I hear, I'm going to NFL Pro Shop and getting that jersey. And I'll wear it with pride, too. Well, listen, man, you have a good night, and thanks for coming on the show. I hope to see you again real soon.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely, man.